Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
It's 91 days to the general election on November 3rd, and here at Radio Boston, we'll be focusing on a number of key races, including the race for the White House. For some conservatives, November 3rd is all about keeping President Trump in office. But for other lifelong Republicans, it's about getting him out.
There's mourning in America. And under the leadership of Donald Trump, our country is weaker and sicker and poorer. And now, Americans are asking, if we have another 4 years like this, will there even be an America?
That's a clip from an anti-Trump ad from the Lincoln Project, a political action committee made up of former and current members of the Republican Party who say the president doesn't represent their values or their party. Jennifer Horn is one of the co-founders of the Lincoln Project. She's a former chair of the New Hampshire GOP, and she joins us now on the line. Jennifer, thanks for joining us here on Radio Boston.
Jamie, thank you so much for having me. It's really a pleasure to be with you today.
Thanks for being here. So I want to ask you, you know, the Lincoln Project has led the way on organizing Never Trump Republicans around this idea of defeating the president. Why is this the issue that has united a sort of fractured Never Trump group together?
But you mean the Morning in America ad, the message in there? As I think that's been a unifying message, not just amongst Never Trumpers, frankly, but amongst people across the country, amongst Americans. Donald Trump, if you've watched him for 3.5 years, 4 years now, he's been a tragedy for this country one day after another on every issue. You can't point to a moment where Donald Trump as a leader and as a president has somehow done right by our country. But what we've seen over these past several months, as the president has not just mismanaged the pandemic and been incompetent in his handling of the pandemic, but he has been so narcissistic about it. He has been driven by ego and self-interest in the way that he has managed something that has now taken 154,000 American lives. I think that there is something that is there is something so tragic about that. And so I think it causes people truly to ache in their hearts when they think about it. And I think that's why we're seeing so many people come together. It's not just anti-Trumpers anymore. It's not Democrats. It's really grown to where the American people are looking at this president and realizing what a tragedy he has been for our country.
But why not simply switch parties and join the Democrats? I mean, I understand there are overall ideological differences between, you know, certain folks of the Lincoln Project and the Democratic Party. But isn't that effectively doing the same thing as what the Lincoln Project is doing?
No, I wouldn't say so at all. You know, I think that I think our country needs strong parties, multiple strong parties, two strong parties, three strong parties, where we can have, you know, engage in that exchange of ideas, where we can debate our differences of ideas when it comes to policy and legislation and things like that. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about trying to defeat a person who I believe poses an existential threat to the republic. We're not talking about a guy. We're not talking about, you know, oh, we disagree with the Republican Party. Now we need to find another party. We're talking about somebody who is truly a threat to what America is and what so many have kind of always dreamed she can be. It's not about party politics. It's about country. It's about Constitution. It's about preserving the vision, not just that our founding fathers had for us, but the vision that we have for our children and our grandchildren and future generations.
But what do you say to his millions of supporters who argue that, mm-hmm. you know, what he's doing is speaking for them, and that until the pandemic, at least, he had a pretty clear case for re-election among his supporters, a strong economy, promising progress on a trade war with China, a crackdown on illegal immigration. How do you make the case to his supporters to turn away from what was otherwise successful presidency in their view?
Sure. Well, for starters, it's not there's every leader always has some kind of base of support, Richard Nixon had a base of support until the day that he walked out the door of the White House. That doesn't mean that the 30% or the 28% who are diehard supporters are right. It doesn't, you know, my job is to make the argument to all of those Republicans and right-leaning independents out there who want to stay with their party, but look at the White House and know that they cannot stay with the president. And the argument, I think, frankly, is quite easy. This is a corrupt, mentally unstable, self-serving president who cannot lead, has proven he cannot lead, and continues to prove it every day. You know, just go back as recently as before the pandemic, when the president was impeached for trying to bribe essentially a foreign leader to help him get reelected, trying to bribe someone to come in from outside our country to come in and impact the outcome of our presidential elections. So I don't think it's a difficult argument to make, frankly. And I think that one of the reasons that we've been successful in our efforts here at the Lincoln Project so far, at least, is because there are so many easy examples to refer to.
So these sort of ills of today, if that's a fair way to describe them. Does the Republican Party itself have some culpability in paving the path to President Trump? This idea, you know, Peggy Noonan and the Wall Street Journal and others have argued that Trump and Trumpism didn't emerge in a vacuum, that he's grown out of decades of Republican orthodoxy, that the racial and social dog whistles and eventually bullhorns have all sort of led us to this president. You know, Nixon's Southern strategy, Reagan and the welfare queen, H.W. Bush and Willie Horton, W. and same-sex marriage constitutional amendment. What do you say to that critique that the Republican Party and members of the GOP and folks like you might bear responsibility for us getting to Donald Trump?
Yeah, I embrace it. I absolutely would. You know, Donald Trump didn't just happen overnight. There's no question that there's been this long path that has led us, you know, in this direction and landed us where we are today. And I would say that, you know, I'm somebody who was the chairman, a state chairman for the Republican Party. And I spent a great deal of my time as chairman trying to push back on what I thought were the weaknesses in our party. I spoke out against Donald Trump throughout that cycle. I publicly called as chairman for a change in our platform when it came to, you know, language that was excluding, you know, so many Americans from having equal rights. You know, I can go through the list of things where I've tried to speak up and tried to be that voice, but there is no question, you know, Stuart Stevens, you know, has a new book out called It Was All a Lie. Mm-hmm. Stuart, you know, like myself, Stuart actually much longer than I, you know, the idea that there were many of us who were involved in trying to advance Republican candidates and advance Republican principles, you know, have to look back and see, you know, so many examples where we thought we were just dealing with the fringe element of our party at times that has now sort of blossomed up and become such a vocal, influential voice within our party. It's, you know, I go back to what I said earlier, you know, it's tragic. It's heartbreaking for those of us who actually believe and embrace those principles that Abraham Lincoln spoke of so eloquently to look at our party today and see what we are. It's horrible. And to your point earlier, a lot of Republicans have left the party. We know that factually, as you look across the country at registration, a lot of Republicans have left the party.
So would it be fair to say a bit of this too is an attempt to perhaps right the party's wrongs of yesterday?
I hope so, but to be frank, I'm not sure. You know, I can't speak for everybody. I'm not sure that everybody here is looking at this as a way of saving the Republican Party. This, as I said earlier, this is much more at this point about country than about party. Like I said, I think we need two strong parties, at least in this country. But if the Republican Party comes out of this, you know, destroyed and lost and they don't ever come back, it's their own fault.
So then actually to that point, Jennifer,
we're not here to save the party. We're here, we hope, to save the future of our country.
So let me ask you about the future of the party, though, because there is a sort of special strain of Republicanism that exists here in New England, right? The sort of, mm-hmm. Maybe it's a dying breed, but I'm thinking of the late Ed Brooke, African-American Republican senator from Massachusetts, or, of course, more recently, Charlie Baker, who is no fan of the president and didn't vote for him. Is there a path forward for a more moderate GOP here in New England, or is it Trump or bust or Biden or bust?
Well, you know what? I don't know if I can answer that question with any certainty from my own perspective, that's for sure. I think that if there is a path forward for the GOP, it's going to have to be one that is more inclusive, that is more embracing of the approach that people like Charlie Baker and frankly Kristi Noem in New Hampshire and others who have made the attempt to be a more inclusive party than a more contemporary party. But let's be clear, if we want to address the ills that we are confronting as a country today, it goes well up beyond the party issues. When we are confronting issues like the bigotry, the racial divisions that have exploded in our country and been manipulated by this president and take advantage of, the attacks on women, the hypocrisy on LGBTQ policy, in order for things like that to be defeated and to be put behind us permanently, that calls for all Americans to come together outside of their parties. That means that Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, Independents, Progressives, Conservatives, we've all got to be willing to say we may have our political differences on how best to accomplish certain things when it comes to policy, but we have got to come together on these big, deeply damaging issues that have the potential to destroy us as a nation.
Jennifer, we are running low on time here, and I want to make sure we get...
I truly believe the first step to that is to defeat Donald Trump in November.
So I want to ask you about that. The polls right now are just a snapshot in time, and we've seen polls be wrong. The president wins again in November. What does that mean for you, the Lincoln Project, the GOP? We saw what happened to a lot of never Trump politicians after 2016, they either fell in line or they retired and left politics.
Well, you know that all of us at the Lincoln Project have refused to fall in line. That's not going to happen. That's never going to happen with me. It's never going to happen with my associates at the Lincoln Project. And I refuse to even consider a world where Donald Trump is reelected until we get past November. Folks can go to lincolnproject.us to learn more about how to get involved with us. We are very focused. We know how to do this. Every single one of us are experienced in politics and campaigns and messaging and how to grow this kind of an effort. And frankly, the president makes it easy for us. I don't think you cannot argue that Donald Trump has been the most dangerous, most divisive, most unstable president of our times. And I do believe that the majority of Americans see the threat that he poses and are going to come together on Election Day and put country over party and put principle above politics.
All right. That's Jennifer Horn. She's co-founder of the Lincoln Project and former chair of the New Hampshire GOP. Jennifer, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
And I should note that here on Radio Boston, we will continue to cover political races of all stripes.